Okay, we have recording started. Welcome to the Traceability Call, April 25, 2023. Anyone can participate in these calls. All substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreements signed. If you need a link to that agreement, please let me know. Today, we will be going over traceability vocab, but before we do, does anyone have anything they would like to bring up? Any announcement? Anything of the sort? Okay.
Maybe let's welcome Steve on the call.
Absolutely. Welcome, Steve. Is this your first call on the traceability side?
Yes, it's the first time I've participated in this W3C call. We've been using W3C standards, and most of my standards work is done at the UN, where there's also trade vocabularies and the like. But I've been watching the work here and keen to see how we can use it.
Well, you're absolutely more than welcome. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having your input. Our agenda today is trace vocab. So, starting, and as noted, this is a community group, not a working group, but yes. Looking at PRs today, let me link the PRs we should be reviewing. Starting from oldest PR first, we have 76. Ori, have you had any chance to work on this in the past?
I think I did some work on it. I did a related PR. I started, actually I opened a PR that changed like every schema for every credential to allow for the credential schema property. And this PR is sort of blocked in part by that PR. So that's the work that I did on that. I also did some other kind of interest work for us regarding status lists and the credential schema property in the VC specs directory.
So the other PR is PR747. Is that the one that you're talking about? Add credential schema to credentials. Let's jump to it.
Yeah, we're on this one.
And see if we could get. So far, I believe I'm the only person who has reviewed it. Has anybody else had a chance to take a look? Or is anyone else able to take a look at it? And Ori, could you give us an intro to it?
Sure. So version one of the verifiable credentials technical recommendations supported the predicate credential schema, which is an extension point that allows you to describe as an issuer the schema of the verifiable credential. And in version one, nobody really used that. And the type that was in the version one of the spec was called JSON Schema Validator 2018. There was never an implementation of it, et cetera. But people do like this particular extension feature. And, you know, we use this extension feature as a group here. We just never actually updated any of our credential schemas to sort of be self-aware regarding it. And so that's what this PR does. It adds the credential schema property to all of the credentials that we are defining in our vocabulary, which from a JSON-LD perspective, we already support this property by using the context. But this makes it clear that when this property is present, it can be schema validation can also apply to this expression, which is a little bit meta because it's like this credential schema defines the expected value for the credential schema property in a credential implementing the schema. And that's basically what the PR does. It just adds that property to all of the examples. And I took the opportunity to kind of also point out that we do publish URLs already for all of those schemas that we have. And I've also tested those URLs in that PR that we were mentioning at the beginning that adds the V2 tests. So after the pull request that we're looking at right now, which is 747, is merged, the tests for the V2 will automatically start passing because they process these URLs and they confirm that all of the behavior is sort of functioning as expected.
That's really good to hear. And has anybody else had a chance to take a look at the PR? Looks like no. So we're going to need two more reviewers if we can get anyone else to review.
Just another point on this. Like, yeah. The problem with big PRs like this is like instant merge conflict. So if it is possible to merge it ahead of other things, there's, you know, a lot of files that I had to change in there. And if I have to manage a huge set of merge conflicts on it, that's harder than fixing, you know, one or two sort of merge conflicts in a specific credential. Like mil test report is a good example of one I intentionally did not include in this PR because I know NIST has an open PR that's working on it.
Yeah. And if you are reviewing this PR, it's reasonably straightforward in the sense that everything is the same pattern. It's just a question of, are the URLs identical to the name of the YAML files, basically. That's the thing that you want to look for. And seeing that we, one second, I think I just caught a review. So thank you, Ben, for reviewing and this review. Okay, looks like we are good to merge this PR first. And it's done. Now that this is merged, Ori, does this unblock the PR number 736?
Yeah, it will. I'm going to have to rerun the tests. And once it starts sort of validating this property, it's possible it will start catching additional errors. But I'll address that as it happens.
Sounds good. So let's just wait and review PR 736 as we. Next up is PR 745. Miss, you open this PR. Would you be able to walk us through?
Yeah. It's giving just a quality pass on the purchase order schema. There were some outdated term definitions, and I simplified it, taking out some edge cases, and made more stuff mandatory. Those are the main things.
And the things that are becoming mandatory are product item count and line item total price, I believe.
That's about right.
Yeah. I have had a chance to review it. So has Ben. Can we get one more review in before we merge this in?
Two should be enough.
Oh, thank you, Ori. And we're good. Next up is 746. This one adds an agriculture canine card, and I believe this is testing images. Is that right?
Yes. So just some context, you know, there are cases where you want to encode image material in a verifiable credential, and part of the problem is like it won't even give you a diff for the credential once you do that because the file becomes so large because it contains an image that's been inflated by base 64. So we'd like, first of all, a credential that has this property just for the sake of testing. And that's primarily what this is about. There's cases, you know, I don't know about your products, but there's cases in our product where if you see a link to an image, like we're very cautious not to actually render that image because that's going to reveal information about the fact that a credential is being viewed. And so this particular credential gives us a sort of a way of evaluating, you know, embedded images in credential schemas and it's basically just for testing purposes.
Thank you. We do have Ben and myself who've had a chance to take a look at this PR. I guess with Miss's comment about only two being necessary, I guess that's fair enough. Gonna go ahead and merge this in unless there are objections. Done. Next up is the updates to MTR. This is 7.4.8.5.4.8. I thought this was open.
Yeah, it was by me, but then I handed it off to Nick.
Yeah, I made a bunch of commits on this, and I realize now I've failed to provide a proper description, and I definitely apologize for that. I don't know if that really disqualifies it. What it is, similar to what we just looked at, on the purchase order. You know, we did the build test report years back. We've learned a lot. What I did was I took a generic approach to what does a build test report look like? Not just one, but a whole bunch of them. And I made refactored the design to make it, generic and user friendly. So that's really the intention with this. That involves some, for example, some, denormalization, and Mahmoud, that is to your comment. I did include a new class for the chemical section on both chemical and mechanical sections. I basically made classes for those, which fit specifically, for what those look like on a build test report.
And I would have approved this, but I started it, so I can't approve my own pull request.
My one comment on it is that chemical composition sounds way too generic for something that is, the way I'm reading it, is this is very much a test report specific thing. Because I was thinking, you know, hey, if I want to use chemical composition on an oil product, none of these apply, right? So I was trying to see if there's a way that we could, I'm guessing this just is a steel chemical composition, really?
Or it is, yeah. It's specific to mill test reports. So just some background on the chemical properties piece, because chemical and mechanical properties have been really difficult for us to deal with. In the first version of the mill test report, we made them like really generic. But as a result of doing that, we found the usability of them was like incredibly poor. And so we've changed the structure here to improve the usability and to make it easier to talk about what's required and what's optional. Because there's just been like a lot of confusion about this is an array that contains structured objects that have 15 optional fields in them, you know, which creates a not great experience for data processors or for people doing data entry.
And I agree with that. My one comment is, and we found similar issues on our end, right? And there's a very similar problem with observations in some of the other ones where it's just way too generic. But I believe my one request here is if you could move this from common to an MTR specific chemical composition.
Definitely. Yeah. So what exactly would you like? What's the right design for that? Is it to prefix it with steel?
So I think the lightest way of handling this is to just let the vocab automatically expand the terms. And so you shouldn't need to define any new RDF types in order to merge this PR. Like that would be my preference. This, when we talked about this, I was like, make this schema nice. Don't spend any time on the RDF side yet.
Right.
Because the data entry piece is gated by the schema, not by having nice terms. So my preference would be to not have to make new RDF types to merge this PR.
Okay. So, Nis, are you able to make those changes?
Sure. So, let me just make sure I understand what we're agreeing here. We're not talking about the terms here. We're talking about the names, the class names. So rather than having chemical composition YAML, it would be steel chemical composition YAML.
So maybe there's been some confusion and communicating requirements on the PR between you and Minas. But, you know, my expectation was everything was inlined and there was no need to define new schemas other than just updating the single file. And I started the PR by inlining everything possible. So if there's been changes to it that haven't incorporated that, then I'm going to request
that
from the PR.
That, right. Yes. Why did I do that?
That I think would make it, I think what you did it was because you were trying to make it more generic with a chemical composition.
Yeah.
So other people would use it, but I just don't see a point where any, like, this is so specific to an MTR.
Yeah,
it is. There's no way anyone else can use it.
This is our bad miscommunication. Yes. I can't request changes on it because I started it, but I don't. No,
it's clear. No, my bad. I apologize. That is, those should not be there. And by the way, they are inlined, but the way I started it externally, then I inlined it and I forgot to delete them out. So yeah, that's my bad.
Just a quick note, Ori, you can make suggestions to your own PR. You can also change the fork that it's on. Just it commits to your fork and it has the same effect.
Oh, like, yeah, I can definitely make changes. I just, in the reviewers panel, I can't do that part.
If you look at the changed files, you'll also have the blue plus that you would normally have.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's so weird. Thank you.
Happy to help.
Awesome. Miss, can you add a comment?
Yes.
I just checked though. Like it won't. It's grayed out to request changes. It won't let me do it, but it does give me the UI, which is really weird.
It won't let you request changes.
You can make suggestions, but not request changes, right? You make a comment, maybe.
It will let me leave a comment. It just won't let me approve or request changes. So I'll just leave a comment saying I'm requesting changes.
It gives me all three on mine, so I don't know why it doesn't.
Yeah, that's weird. I don't know.
All right. Moving forward, we have 749, also by this. Let me try to remember which this was. This was organization ID. What exactly does an organization ID mean? Yeah. I think this is pretty straightforward. This is just a description update. It says, what does an organization need, the identifier need to actually be? And it says it must be an IRI of some subtype with an example. I think this is pretty straightforward. And I know it works for us. And we have two approvals. I'm going to go ahead and merge this in unless there are any objections. Moving forward, we have the biggest PR of them all, fix title camel case to start case, and it fixes a very straightforward problem, inspection facility from one camel case word to two words in the title. This should be very straightforward. Ori requested changes. Am I reading the wrong one?
Is this the title casing in the MTR issue?
I believe so. This is...
Yeah. This, one of our engineers opened this. There's a coordination problem here between him and NIST. This PR should be closed.
Okay, because this PR changes one file, but it's not changed in 748.
Correct. Yeah, this is, again, this is NIST for you to fix and for Adam to close this.
Okay.
Yes, so the I believe it is fixed. In the other PR. Yeah, it is included in that.
Okay. Fair enough.
Look, am I asking too much to ask if I stick to inlining, can I merge out of bound?
I think just ping me and I'll give it a quick review. Because okay. I think I'm the one who's asking for changes, right?
Yeah.
As long as everybody else is happy with that flow, we could do that.
Yeah, I think it should be okay unless you're specifically issuing MTRs very, very frequently off of the published schema URLs. And if you're doing that, then
we're not, but we do use the underlying MPR object, so it would be a good idea for me to just make sure that it wouldn't break anything on our end. I don't think it does, but and I'm happy with the overall structure. It's just making
Thank sure you. It works. Yes.
Is everybody okay with out of bandness being made for review and we just merge it in? Everybody else happy with that flow? Awesome. I'll take that as a yes.
Thanks.
So that leaves us with camel case to start. We will be closing that PR as it is included in what was the PR number? 748. And I'm going to be closing up here. Okay. That gets us through all of the trace vocab PRs. We have trace interop PR, which I believe is the same one that's been in draft for a while. I did ping Mike out of band last week, and I did not get a response, I believe. Yeah, I did not. So I guess I'm going to let it sit, as I believe there have been no changes. Oh, Mike has responded. He says, slow draft for a reason. At this point, I'm fine to close it. It's going close. We don't have the bandwidth to dive in. So I'm just going to go ahead and close it because nothing is actually moving there. Is that everybody okay with that?
Yes.
All right. That means we have no open PRs on Trace Interop. And today we're going to be reviewing Trace vocab issues, least recently updated. Before we review issues, does anyone have anything they want us to go over? Any specific issue they want to bring up? All right, then we're going to be going in the least recently updated order. We have number 297. Just give me a second to clean up my desktop. This has no assignee, and it was opened by Vladimir. Ori, Vlad, and Miss have talked about this, and it's pending volunteers to review, and it says the suggestion is still valid. I am not familiar with the concept of allotrope data models. I don't know if anybody else is, or anyone who's reviewed on Spark.
Yeah, I looked at this when it got ready to go. I mean, my overall feeling about this is like maybe there's something really valuable here and it's just not, we're not communicating effectively around it to get people excited about it. Like I can't tell. With a lot of things with RDF, you know, there's an ontology out there that like some people like and other people don't like, but every now and then that ontology is like really, really important. And it's a huge mistake not to like do everything to get support for it and address it. Like I think some of the GS1 stuff is in that category for supply chain traceability. For this thing, I don't have enough. I just don't know for this. Like it would be good to get additional reviews and, or maybe even ask a more experienced community regarding it.
I would just note that we just agreed to simplify measurements because, you know, taking it down from something that was too complex, that seems to be going the other direction than what is being suggested here.
That's fair. I think the issue here is like there's a kind of, you can optimize with respect to RDF modeling, or you can optimize with respect to sort of JSON-LD data filling experience. And I think we started optimizing with respect to RDF modeling, and we're kind of more actively focused on the schema experience now as we've been working with the data model as much as we have been. That's just speaking, you know, based on the experience I've had working with the vocabulary.
I think that's fair. looking through some of these links and going through it, I don't see any of this that, again, I'm not an expert on any of this, but it doesn't seem like any of this would apply to any specific oil, at least any of the documents that we're getting from the oil industry, oil and gas industry. And so I really don't see how I could be using this. To me, a lot of these values are, trying to find a better word for it, but we don't have any hardness tests, tensile strength, anything like that. These are all very much steel specific. Well, not steel specific, but like they do apply a lot more to steel than they do to oil. And I personally do not see any use cases where we would use this. So if you guys are going to be using it, I'm happy to keep the issue open. If anyone's willing to, you know, invest the time and resources. Otherwise, I think this is just going to keep coming up and no one's going to do anything about it. This has been open for over a year now. So my suggestion is if anyone is willing to take it as an action item, we keep it open. If no one is willing to take it as an action item, this is a good point where we could close it. And once anyone else is excited, we could reopen the issue.
I can't take this. I agree with your proposed suggestion.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and note that no volunteers for this action item forward will be closed. Okay. And that gets us one issue down. We are now looking at issue 300, which I believe is very closely tied to that issue. So consider the W3C cube for advanced measurements. If 297 is not adopted as too complex, which we just, you know, agreed not to do that, so that's a good starting sentence, we should consider W3C cube, which is QB. What it does is it has observations that relate to structure definitions, dimensions that define Cartesian space for each observation, measures that provide observed values, and more. Have you guys had a chance to take a look at this at all? I know on our end, we have been struggling with schema observation with some stuff, but it was mostly due to lack of data from the industry. And I see that both Ori and this have dropped. Ben, Steven, Ted, any of you guys have any questions on this?
Sorry, you cut out a little bit on the second part of that question.
Do you guys have any input on this issue at all? So have you?
I mean, yeah, a lot of what Vladimir says goes really over my head. My general thinking is I think we're in terms of like fidelity. I think we want to get the schemas down until like we have absolutely no changes and we're happy with the schemas. And then I would start applying JSON-LD and finding like which terms we have as a step after that rather than trying to focus on, getting JSON-LD right when we don't have good schemas.
I think this isn't an issue we close like we did with 297 because this seems like a much smaller delta for us to pick up. And if you look at the RDF Theta Cube vocab, it looks more straightforward. It is still a substantial thing that we will need to take on. So I don't think we're at a point where we should close 297, but it is an issue with an easier, you know, path for us to work on. So I'm going to go ahead and, if everyone's okay, I'm going to keep it open.
Yeah, that's okay. Also, it might be pretty hard for me to, like, if we're down to this number of people, it's going to be pretty hard for me to talk and describe at the same time.
Fair enough. What we could do is, since we've dropped to four people, and usually that's too few people for us to keep the meeting going, we could consider calling this an early OSIM meeting and pick it up again next week.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the only any other issues. I think in terms of like stuff for me and you to do one on one, the one issue I want to bring to your attention would be the roadmap one. The roadmap issue.
Roadmap issue. Yes.
I think that'd be a good one to look at together, try to come up with any action items on that, and then if we don't have enough people, close the meeting after reviewing that one.
So this is issue number 217. I pulled it up. It says, book has been in the works for a while. We want to have a stable version at some point. We need a roadmap to with milestones and a target date, right?
Yeah.
Or you talked about GitHub projects. I believe Ted explained why that's a not so great idea. You pointed out some steps to move forward on this, made some concrete proposals, and make it an agenda item to bring it up on the meetings. I think that's a very fair point. You said there are a few criteria to narrow down. Do you want to walk us through those?
Let's see. I think we're midway down. I kind of jumped up to the end. So
yeah, I'm talking about your last one.
Okay, yeah. The last one. So yeah, completeness of schemas are. Steve, do you want to jump in here?
Yeah. No, I was going to wait till you finished your question, but I had slightly related question about IP of this. Context is, I'm about to start phase two of a global textile and leather traceability project at UN, and also beginning a critical raw materials traceability project that has participation from several nations, lots of brands, you know, hundreds of large corporates and nations. We're starting to think about developing, using the UN vocabulary and developing traceability documents and the like, and I see a lot of overlap between what we need to do and what you've already done, and wanted to ask, how to put this, collect thoughts about where should this vocabulary live? What are the IP implications if a UN project, let's say, copies or reuses? Is there a roadmap even for this project to change its governance structure from a W3C thing to a UN thing? These are just all thoughts, right?
I appreciate that question. I'm going to answer them, and then Ted, if you don't mind answering some of the other ones. The question about roadmap for changing governance, I believe there has been no discussions about moving this vocabulary to somewhere else as of today. I do know we reference a lot of the UN existing vocabulary, and as much as we can, we try and reference existing authoritative sources for our vocabulary terms. We try to reduce, you know, adding new terms as much as possible, right? That's just the driving principle behind building the vocab. On the IP note, I think, Ted, you have a better, you know, knowledge of this than I do. But my understanding is there are no restrictions on the IPR. I can't articulate, you know, the answer to that question, actually. Ted, could you... sorry to call on you like this.
To distinguish between whether it's freely available versus who owns it, right? So taking any of this and reusing it in the UN means contributing that IP to the UN. So the question is, who owns this IP here? Even though it's maybe freely available because it's publicly published, but who owns the IP is the question. And what would happen if we were to reuse some of these document standards at the UN and republish them? Should be, I don't know.
Do you have to republish them in order to use them?
No, not necessarily. We can just use them. But one of the challenges is nations who are thinking about implementing or recommending implementation to their constituents care about the authoritative governance behind the standards. You know, is it an ISO standard? Is it a this, that, right? And so this group's done a lot of great work, but doesn't have the, any authority.
So, right. So currently we are a community group of the W3C, and the documents that we produce are considered what we call reports, which are openly available. When we conclude a report and say, okay, this is done, the typical process is for it to be passed on to a W3 working group, which has a couple year typically lifespan to polish and get wide review and make sure that we're not stepping on other people's toes and that we didn't, do anything egregious in what we did. And then that turns into a recommendation, a TR.
Right.
And that's available for anybody to use. It's royalty free, patent free. And that's part of the process of going into the working group is that that IPR commitment is made. There is a lesser IPR commitment made for community group process. I don't have the legalese to tell you anything specific.
That's all right.
My understanding is that it's unclaimed IPR. Or it's made available for general use in the scope of the thing that we've developed.
Yeah, I'm just saying, from the perspective of an observer, there's a lot of good work here. From the perspective of nation states making recommendations and so on, they like to point at sort of endorsed standards, sometimes from de jure authorities like ISO. W3C isn't one of those, but it's certainly very respectable. So it's about the roadmap, isn't it? As you just discussed, is the roadmap from community to a report to recommendation all within W3C, or does some of it get,
That's the current like roadmap. Part of the thing, part of why a lot of things are developed in W3C and not in ISO is the dollars involved.
Yes.
I'm sure if you've looked at a number of ISO standards, you've seen that every single one of them has a cost associated for anybody who wants to even read it. That is a thing that is against everything that the web was sort of built on, right? The base philosophy of the web is that these standards are open and freely usable by anybody without permission, without tax, without paywall.
Yeah, I agree, and I'm with you. I much prefer open standards. It doesn't make any sense to me to put a paywall in front of something that you want mass adoption of. And UN doesn't, well, different parts of UN might, but so the World Customs Organization charges for their standard, or I think they're about to change it. UN CFAC doesn't. It's the same policy. It's IPR owned by UN, but made freely available with no limitations. So same kind of intent, if you like, as W3C. I'm just talking about it from a, who's the policymaker that's saying to their government agency or to their corporates and making rules, here's the vocabulary you should use. And they got a point at a vocabulary and have some confidence that they're making a recommendation that has some authority behind it. That's all, right? You could easily have a much better quality vocabulary out of this group than the UN might make, but it's the authority question that gives regulators and others the confidence to point at it and say, use that then. And that's all I was wondering about.
Absolutely. But to answer your question concretely, as of today, there have been no conversations about moving the traceability vocabulary or the traceability interoperability specifications to any other standards org. Whether you could take the vocabulary as is and republish it under the UN, I don't believe any of us have the answer to that question. I think that's a legal question to ask probably the chair.
Yeah, because the second one is a IP question, right? Not a license question. Yeah.
Yes. And I do not have the legal, and I don't think anybody in this call has the legal background to answer that. I would reach out to the chairs of the CCG. They would probably be able to get you a, I'm sure they've been asked this question before, and I think they will be able to give you a clear answer on that.
Sure. No worries. Thank you.
No worries. So on the issue that we are reviewing right now, which is 217 on the roadmap, one of the questions, I guess, to be added is the intention of the spec to be published under W3C working group or under a different standards org like UN, etc., right? That's basically the question that you're trying to ask, and it's a thing we should probably have an answer to on the roadmap. And one of the points of this issue is actually getting a cleaner, you know, view of the roadmap.
Yeah. I can.
Yeah, please, Ben.
Yeah, I can quickly. Well, I mean, at least my thoughts on this. I mean, my thoughts is like, how do we nail down, you know, getting to the point of being, getting to the technical recommendation, and kind of like, at what point can we say this is version 1.0? Because some of the feedback we're getting is of like, it's still a moving target where we're changing things, we're updating things, and we've been getting, you know, feedback of like, oh, we would like to use this, but we see you guys are still changing a lot of things. So when are you guys going to get to the point where we can expect no more changes? And so, and how do we communicate that? You know, if we get to this, you know, how do we show that our documentation is if we're version 0.3 or we're version 0.2 and we expect to have, you know, this by version 1.0, how can we kind of calculate that, quantify that, and communicate that?
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. I know on our end, we do expect the bulk of all of our changes to be quote unquote complete by early June, so to speak, because we're very close to, I mean, we've been having industry take a look at, well, you know, the schemas and the vocab and the terms that we've been using for quite a while now. And our current internal estimate is all the credentials that we touch should be, you know, locked down by early June, right? Early mid June. And so to me, the way I think about this is there are different verticals and each vertical will have their own, you know, I mean, depending on the customers you're talking to and the people that you're trying to work with, the completeness of your schemas really is dependent on your, you know, the actual participants in the supply chain, right? So maybe on, do you guys have an idea on your end how long it would take, from where you are today to have a more nailed down version of your schemas?
For Transmute, I mean, I would like to give a straight answer. I mean, I think we have an answer as a company, you know, ahead of.
I don't need you to give me an answer now, but I think.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm just paranoid that of like, you know, we can go into production and it's like, oh, I want to tweak the small thing. Oh, I want to tweak the small thing. Oh, can we change that vocab? I'm just very paranoid about making any final committal statements. And I think that we're going to have to just get to a point where it's not, you know, there's no such thing as perfect, but you know, at what point is good enough is kind of the question on my mind.
Yeah. The way I see it, we are moving still way too quickly. I mean, you just saw a huge PR that modified, you know, a bunch of schemas today. But it did not affect many of our, schemas. I also will say that with the context changes to the verifiable credentials V2, that may affect the vocabulary itself, right? As we, you know, move to support. So just add another note that like once the context V2 is more settled, we're going to be able to concretely say there will be no big changes to the context, to the traceability context because of it, right? So that is probably a thing that we will want to wait for. But I don't know if there's any way to quantify that.
That's true. And then, you know, that kind of also goes into, you know, what's our timeline? What's our committed timeline? If, if we said, oh man, you know, what do we need to do by shipping next week? Then we would obviously say, okay, we're going to go with V1 and that's that. And we're just going to work around it. Or if we say, hey, V2 is coming up on, you know, on the short horizon, you know, how do we adjust and plan for that?
So V2 and, correct me if I'm wrong, Chad, if I'm missing the timeline, I believe the Verifiable Credentials V2 context should be done by September, because I think that's when they're going to the, like, that's where they're submitting a bunch of the specs.
Maybe?
I think it's somewhere there where they wanted to stop all big changes sometime in June and have people review them and then submit them to September. But again, this is off the top of my head. I don't, yeah, it's not complete. But okay. So maybe we should drive this a different way. Are there any requirements to have this versioned at a specific point? And we could work from there to make sure that what we would need to lock down a version, right? One of the things that I'm worried about is if we lock down a version too early, then we realize we have some massive changes. It would make it harder for us to version, like to issue a second version that would be backwards compatible. And if there's no hard requirement that we issue a version right now, I would hold off on that, right? That's the way I'm trying to think about it. So maybe the way we do this is we work backwards from what is the date that we know we will need a first cut of a version of it. And then we try and see what are the things that we would need to do to get to that version.
That sounds like a valid plan. I don't think I have any info for you on the details of those dates.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'll CC Mike and Ori because they might have their own internal dates where they would need a version as well, and that could help inform everyone, right? Okay. Did anyone have anything else they want to talk about for the roadmap?
This was the main thing I wanted to bring up, and I think this discussion was really productive.
Well, thank you all. I guess we're going to, you know, end this call 10 minutes early. I'm going to go ahead and post the minutes and the recording right after this is done.
Okay.
Thank you, and see you next week.
All right. Thanks again for coming, Steve. Bye, everyone.
Bye.